It's a pretty good day. Amen?
Yeah.
Who's ever exhausted themselves fighting battles that we weren't called to fight? I really believe we've exhausted ourselves fighting battles we were never called to fight. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Anybody else? Well, what I was looking for was from yesterday when we prayed until this morning. Because I think that's really important that we get that. We prayed yesterday, Lord, open our ears, let us hear your voice. This is a response to that prayer. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So even as Carol was sharing about years ago, this is what was going. It was leading up to the hawk that she sees this morning, and God continues to speak in that same vein. You understand? Go ahead, Bobby Joe. Yeah.
Yesterday I went for a walk after class, and I'm just talking to the Lord, and I'm just looking up at the sky, and I'm just telling him, I want to see you, I want to hear you, you know, speak to me, show me yourself, I want to see you, Lord. I just kept saying, I want to see you.
Right.
And as I'm looking up, the cloud, literally a lion's face just came into the cloud, and I looked at it, and I kept walking. I'm like, I don't want to look down because I'm loving this, but eventually I had to look straight ahead, and I almost got off track, and then when I looked back up, it was completely gone.
Uh-huh.
And I was just praising God because, you know, I can hear from him, but I normally don't have a visual, so that was awesome.
That is pretty awesome, isn't it? Isn't that cool? Amen. And sometimes that's one of the things I think is really, really important. Hear what she said. I was asking God. I was asking God. See, I think sometimes we have not because we ask not. You know what I mean? If you ask, do it with expectation. Man, I'm going to receive. You know what I mean? So we walk in that, and I think that's kind of fun. Catch Donna real quick, and then we're going to kind of go into a couple other things. Donna right over here. Yeah. There's just some neat stuff that God's speaking and doing. And there's a place where there's a preparing of our hearts, because I want to take us somewhere yet today. Go ahead.
I get, speaking about asking, I shared with Becky earlier how I've been talking to him to have understanding between the law and our relationship with God, because I don't feel like Christ didn't nullify the law. He fulfilled it. And I've been wanting understanding because I don't want to be legalistic, but I love the law. And I don't want to strive to try to do everything he said, because then I cancel what he did for me on the cross. But I so much want to obey him. And so he spoke to me about fellowship, about koinonia.
Okay.
So, I'll, again, what you hear my son, hear him.
Right.
And of course, and then he spoke to me about from glory to glory, and then you brought that up. So I love that when he speaks something to me and then it's confirmed when I get here. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. One of the neat things for me in that ring is that I'll be, my mind is working out a message. I'll be preparing for a Sunday morning or whatever. And as you're preparing, even Saturday night, you're in the office and finishing everything up. And you come in on Sunday morning and the worship leader, whoever that is, whether it's Pam, Joe, Randy, John, whichever, Deb sometimes, you know. And all the songs and even the comments between all so lend themselves to where the message is. And it's like so cool when God does that. It's almost like the Holy Ghost. Come on. It's the same Spirit. You know what I mean? And God just is orchestrating all. It's so fun. I love that stuff. And it's just a confirmation. You know what I mean? As a corporate body, we're hearing God and moving in the same direction. Yay, God. I love that stuff. Cool. All right. Here's what I want to do. I want to take five of you, maybe six, and I want you just to share a quick, it doesn't have to be very long, but just a couple of nuggets, some things that you got from the school so far. You're in 11 weeks. This is the last day of the 11th week. So I need you just to kind of line up right here, and you can just jump right up. That's what I figured. Okay. But I want to do this, and actually we'll probably use it toward a commercial for the next school. Okay? So if you're interested, you want to share some things that the Lord's done, just come quickly. We'll bring you right up front here, and we're just going to have you share very quickly some things that God's spoken to your heart over the last couple of weeks, last 10, 11 weeks. Because you've got, honestly, who has not received in the last 10, 11 weeks? That's why I kind of thought that. Okay, so wouldn't it be a great idea just to share? And this is more or less for the people who are considering coming to the next school. Okay, so I think we're going to have fun with it. Go ahead.
Just a quick background. I just started coming here in March, seeking for more of the Holy Spirit, because I didn't know you could move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit until January. I didn't know that it was real. So just for a background. So in March, I started coming here, and then I decided to come to this school you know, I thought I was doing real good in my Bible. You know, I just might need a little tweak, but in the first 3 days, I realized I was like gutted out, and the Lord was doing a new thing. So I just was just going with it and just absorbing everything that Pastor Dan and Dawn have shared. And in the last week and a half, I have been seeking ways to just love on people. I realized that all things come through love, especially like all miracles, all healings, everything is through love. And last week, my son felt like he was going to vomit, and I told him to go in the bathroom. And my husband and I went in. We started praying over him, calm stomach, you know, no harm shall come to you. And he immediately, his stomach was calmed. He felt better. And he told me he had eaten spoiled ham that day. Like, I knew it was spoiled, and he had eaten it. So we just praised God. That same evening, my other son, we were talking around the table, and he got this intense back pain. And I asked him, had he injured it? And he said, no, I didn't do anything. And I said, well, stand up. We're going to pray over you. He stood up. He couldn't even stand. He went to the couch and fell on the couch. He said, it hurts too bad. So we laid hands on him. We prayed, just believing God, just claiming his word. And when he stood up, at first he was kind of pretending like he hurt. And then he said, I don't hurt, Mom. And it immediately went away. 3 days later, we're four girls were at a pool with a bunch of kids, and right before we left, one of the girls asked if we could pray over her son's leg because it was going out, and when he stood straight, his knees kind of went over each other. So we lay hands on his legs, and we pray over his legs, believing in alignment and all these things. And right as we're finishing, he sits on his mom, and I lift up his legs, and the left leg is shorter than the right leg. So we start praying, leg grow in the name of Jesus, and we're watching it. It's growing, growing, and it grew further. And we said, okay, Lord, back in alignment. We want this leg to be in alignment, and we watched it go right into place. And we are saying, praise you, Jesus. And he said, he's 4 years old, and he's a little delayed, and he was saying, pop, 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 pop. He's like, and then he was swinging his leg, just saying, look. He was so excited because he knew that his leg had grown. And then I was sharing, this past weekend was my family reunion. So I was sharing with my family things that are happening in my life. And I was telling my two nephews about the things that were going on. And my nephew Gage said, he said, my knee, he said, I can't even touch it. He said, when anyone goes near it, it hurts so bad. He said, and I know there's water in there in the bone. He said, the bone has been out of place for a long time. And I said, well, the kingdom of God is here, and we are just going to believe right now that you are healed. I laid hands on him, and I just claimed healing over his leg. And when I was done, he's beating his leg, and I'm just smiling. And he's like, what did you do? And I've heard that so many times. People say, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything. I said, God loves you. And then my other nephew was there watching it, and he said, you know, I was going to wait. He said, but I just need to tell you that I don't even know who I am right now. He said, I'm so confused. I'm lost. I'm going to college next week. I can't even have conversation. I judge everyone. Negative thoughts just keep coming in my mind, and he's pouring out his life. And I said, why don't you come with me? I said, I'm going to this school, and it's all about identity. I said, it's amazing. I said, if you could just come. And at first he's hem-hawing, no, I have to work. Well, somehow the Holy Spirit must have spoke to him, because he said, you know what, I'm going to come. And he left last night. He was here the first 3 days. And last night when he left, he said, you know, I really didn't know. He said, but now I know. He said, I really do believe in God. He said, and I am going to go to church on Sunday, and I really think that I'm not going to drink alcohol anymore. And I'm just going, Lord, you are so good here. So I'm walking in it, and my prayer now is, Lord, allow me to just keep seeing opportunities, because what you have given me, I know that I can let it go if I choose not to continue moving forward in you. So praise be to God.
Awesome.
Wow, she had a lot happen. Yeah. Wow. I've just been set free. Oh, it was so good. No, I came here afraid, really afraid of people. Can you imagine that? Afraid of leaders. Just been really, just hurt, really hurt, and didn't trust church anymore. But I've been set free. Just sitting in this class, that day I got so excited because I realized things were just falling off of me because it's truth. You hear truth here, don't you? It's just so good. And just nailing some ideas that I've been taught, just nailed it in that coffin. It's gone, you know, that coffin is... I believe that anybody healing is for everybody now. There's no doubt in my mind that somebody has to die or be sick. I just know that. And I'm just free. I feel good. It feels good. Yeah, it feels really good that I know who I am in Christ, that He really loves me, that I'm so worth it, quote unquote, right? And not to be offended. That was another big thing. And what's so great for me is I've seen it lived in people around me. It's not just churchese. I've really seen people walk. What are you laughing at? Well, okay. I thought I'd do something. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, that's what's happened to me while I've been here, besides the great friends and whatever else. We all benefit.
Amen. Amen. Bless God. You will blow us away, I'm sure.
I don't know what... God placed me in this class. I'm a baby in the Word. And when I came here, first God opened the doors for me to come here for free because all my seeding money, all my money has gone into Courage House. And she said, come anyway. I'm like, really? So I did. And it was one identity. And God has changed me in the last year very, very rapidly. He has been training me to be strong enough in the Word to be able to do the Courage House and be strong enough in doing my mission and purpose in life. And Freedom Valley grew me up and to be a leader, and I know why I was put here, was to get more knowledge of the Word, but so much more than that. You guys have embraced the Courage House. You have no idea how much that has meant to me. And that just has helped light the fire back in me because I've been doing this for 4 years. And it's been hard. And just coming here and having the women's support that I've gotten has been amazing. I'm very grateful. I'm so grateful to have met you. Like, you have no idea. And the willingness from this church. And Saturday night was my final training. My father is inside me now. And he said that was the final step that you needed to take with the relationship with my father to do the mission. So this school has been a tremendous, tremendous part of my training. I fasted for the first time, and I know it works because I had a miracle of my son coming to me and getting help. I know that miracles do happen because I've had some healings in my own body, and I was part of some healings on Saturday. Blow me away. I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God. And he kept telling me, move on, move on, move on. And like all his prophetic words came to me, and I'm like staring up at the ceiling, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, it was just awesome. How he's and I've had such a hard heart from my past, and that was one thing that I had to have softened. And coming here and talking about love, 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 love is our purpose. I've been able to love myself more, and I've been able to love my family more, which has been a big storm over my head. And that was another part of my training that I had to complete. And he's just continuously softening my heart so that I can have much compassion and grace towards women and individuals that are going to be coming into this house. And we are starting a support group because we don't have a house yet. We have to start serving. And we're actually going to start it here within the next couple of weeks. It's for any women that have any kind of addictions of any kind. single moms that have nobody that want to bring their kids with them, any woman that just wants a support group, and peer coaching is going to involve a whole array of things. Or if you just want another woman to talk to, this is, we're going to hopefully have the office down here. Okay, I'm going to have the office down here. Claiming it right now. I've already claimed the house. I just don't know when it's coming. But I could stand here and talk for a really long time. So God has just done miracles in my life. Thank you.
Well, I guess for me, one of the... one of the big things of coming to this place is the realization that God doesn't work with inside, or God hasn't established a system of what following Him is. Meaning, ever since Jesus left, the church is it's almost like we've tried to systemize. This is what serving God looks like. This is what worship looks like. This is what growing in Him looks like. And, you know, we come up with steps, we come up with programs, we come up with all this stuff. And coming here and seeing something totally different than what I grew up and what my background was in. Coming here and then seeing the Dan Mullers, you know, and the Dons, Pastor Dons, and seeing all these people that each live completely different lives, meaning they are completely themselves, they are completely unique, they are completely in their own relationship with the Lord. And yet in that, coming to the same truths, coming to the same realizations, coming to the same understandings. And so that is probably the biggest thing that it did to me, because realizing that God isn't a system, that we follow these steps, we just follow Him. And then in that, what I'm learning more and more about is He starts to tailor things towards us in a way that we can most run with, in a way that we can most excel in. That's why you can have the Dan Mullers. That's why you can have the Pastor Dons. That's why you can have the Shanes. You can have the Dillons. You can have the Richards and the Matts. And you can have all these different people that are all growing in one being, in one God, and yet having that expression come out in so many different ways. And just actually then the beauty of seeing that, because then I don't have to try to be somebody else. And hearing Dan constantly talk about that, and hearing the emphasis of the school of being who you are in Christ, not being the prophet that spoke 2 days ago, you know, or the guy from 100 years ago that walked in some pretty cool things. You know, not trying to be that, but actually simply just trying to be and actually just living in you. Because you were designed and you were tailored in such a way that is going to impact eternity in ways that darkness, for one, never wants us to find out. Because if we were to live in how God designed us and how God is has created us to live in, if we live in that, darkness is going to freak out. And so darkness has used a lot of people in my life, like try to be like him, try to be like them, try to be like the, basically almost trying to get me under some kind of system that limits God. And the great thing is actually by realizing the limitlessness of God, I actually then find that that I'm unlimited. Because I can now be who I'm designed to be in a way that no one else can copy or be. And there's a part of eternity that I'm meant to fulfill. So that's what I learned.
Good word, man. That's Debbie.
I have them in my hand. I am just, for you that don't know me, I'm one that I've grown up in the church. I grew up in the church not knowing anything about the Holy Spirit. And I look back and see that I was one that was just steeped in legalism and doing. And I had a lot of walls and a lot of hurts from my past that I had tried and tried and tried to get free from and couldn't, you know, by going to counseling and inner healing ministries and nothing was setting me free, really. But it was about 18 months ago, God just lined me up and took me to a place where I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And ever since then, I've been chasing after God, wanting to know more. I knew there was more, but I didn't know how to get it. But because of all the things that have been going on in my life, and I've walked around wanting to be in complete control of my life, I didn't trust others with my life, and I didn't trust God with my life. But it was in February he told me to come here. And it was like, enroll now, enroll now, enroll now. And I thought, February, why do you want me to enroll now? And I know it was because if I didn't, I wouldn't have come. Because of circumstances that were going to come against me. Before, in the time period from February to the time to come, it seemed like my complete life went spun out of control. My relationships were in a bad spot. I got diagnosed with a health issue that could be life-threatening. It just seemed like I was juggling a bunch of balls and they were up in the air and I had no idea where they were going to fall. But God placed a determination in me to come here. That's one time I heard him so clearly. You go. So I said, I don't know how you're going to get me there, God, with all this stuff that's going on, but I'm trusting you that you're going to get me from A to B. And he did. And he told me, you're going to bloom out there. I got, he asked me to be baptized again January of this year. And I had been as a little girl, but I didn't really realize what that meant. So I did it as an adult and realizing what was going on. And someone prophesied over me and gave me the scripture, Luke 10:19, and said, you're going to take back that which has been stolen from you. I had no idea really what that meant. But what I've learned here in this school is my identity, and I'm a daughter. And I've learned about Luke 10:19 and the authority that I have. And God has just been restoring so much back to my life. And I had a huge, huge breakthrough Tuesday. Because I got filled with the Spirit, my family, meaning my mom, siblings, old friends, thought I was filled with Satan, that I was in a cult, it was satanic. I was out there. And so there's been a lot of friction and a lot of accusations. And the Lord told me to call my mom on Tuesday. And there had been some things going back and forth between I and her. And you know, when you come here to school and you hear all this, you think, am I going to be able to... You said you've been poured into to pour out to others. Am I going to be able to pour out to others? Well, Tuesday he told me to call my mom, and I called her, and I said, what's this about, Mom? With she had told me to read Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 through 12. And I mean, it was really speaking where she thought I was. And I just told her, I said, Mom, here's what I'm learning. And I started speaking to her of what happened in the garden, what Jesus really did when he died on the cross for us, an example that Jesus gave us that he modeled and how we're to live. And I was preaching it. It was all Holy Spirit. When I got done, my mom was crying, and she said, I've never heard anyone explain it like that before. And when we got done, our relationship, that was a huge step in our relationship being restored. And we got off the phone, we both said, no more of this, our relationship being
broken like it has been. And I just know God's going to, He's in the process of restoring relationships and restoring my health and things that have been taken from me. But the thing that He said to me yesterday afternoon after I left class, I went for a walk and I was like, God, so much of my life seems out of control. But the cool thing is that in all of this, He's kept me in His peace. I haven't been living in fear, which is how I've lived all my life, is in fear. And He's kept me in His perfect peace, and that's been really cool to experience that. But when it looks crazy to everybody else, I'm walking in peace, and they're wondering why. But the thing that He told me yesterday, because there's still a lot that needs to be put back into place in my life, He said, wait on me, daughter, and watch me move. And with what He did Tuesday, when I had done nothing, and what He did Tuesday between my mom and I now have the faith to believe that He will. I can trust my daddy, and He will put my life back together. So, anyway.
First of all, I just want to start off to say that I am so thankful for the opportunity that was presented to me to go to this school. And at first, I was kind of nervous because I was like, what are they going to think about my age? It's like, I don't want people looking at me. And I know I'm incredibly blessed to have this kind of church that doesn't look at your age, because I know that I'm one of the youngest ones here. I probably am one of the youngest ones here because I'm only 14. But when I don't want people looking at me and saying, I'm going to water things down for you because of you're probably not going to understand anything like I would understand it. Like, I don't want people looking at me like that. And I'm so blessed to have a church that doesn't look at people like that. And it doesn't look at the teenagers or the youth that's coming up. And they, in fact, encourage the youth. I remember them coming, and our youth leader was telling us about how we could go to this school and how we were had this opportunity that we could go and we wouldn't regret it. And that I was really nervous at first, but I was so glad after I took the first opportunity, like that two first steps. Like, as soon as I like started coming to the school, like my perspective changed like so dramatically, and I was so glad that I started coming to this school. And I know that I hear all these people that are so thankful and how their perspective is changing and how they're looking at life differently. And I'm just so glad that no one was looking at my age, and they weren't saying that you can't get this yet, you're not old enough. But it was like, here's what we're learning. Like, you can learn it and you can go even farther. And it's not like a cookie cutter. Like, they want to put you in your own thing. Like, they want to give you exactly what they have, like what the elders of this church has. And it's not, they don't feel like they need to water it down for anyone. And they just give you what they have. And they just say, make your own pattern. Make your go for God, like, completely. Like, our ceiling is your floor. Like, they push you off to as much as you can be. And they don't limit you to anything. And I'm just so glad that I took this opportunity. And I just want to thank Pastor Don for opening this up to the youth and not having expectations for us or anything like that. Just, like, that you let us come in here and seek God after our hearts, and just like have complete understanding just as much as you do, and that you don't have like a limit on us. And I just thank you for that. And I'm so happy that I took this opportunity to go to this school.
Wow. I see there's a lot of wet eyes here. It's just amazing. I get so excited about this. And I want to tell you just a little bit about the online students as well. And because I get to hear so much, and there's no way I could share it all with you. But I'm going to take this few minutes to kind of let you know a little more what's going on. We continue to have students enroll in this school. It's like, it just continues. And a few weeks ago, we had a student from Thailand. Online. Hey, Thailand. And, you know, we have an incredible lady in Georgia, Bonnie, and she's out there praying for the dead to be raised, praying over animals, you know, all kinds of stuff, just amazing, incredible things happening. our student from Korea that's coming next week. She's been in Korea for 2 or 3 years teaching. She's coming back home to Canada as her home. But she was so encouraged by the school because she's been over there kind of alone, trying to minister and pray for people. She's been out on the streets praying for a long time. But when this school came along, it was just such an encouragement to find people of like mind and to, you know, to listen and to grow and to get back out on the streets. So there's that. And I just continue to get testimonies online. And sometimes I actually pick up the phone and call students. And they're just so transformed hearing Dan and Pastor Don. And I just want to encourage you. I mean, I also hear somewhere, oh, no, school's ending. Oh, no. You know, I hear that, and I understand that. I went through that last year. But I can just assure you that if you just cling to him and spend that time with him, that's the most important part of this, the key to this. And you will find your life just daily being transformed. You know, I know today I'm just so different because I have a confidence that I didn't have before. I know who I am, and I can now, I've prayed for the sick for a long time, but I just do it with such confidence and joy now. It's becoming a lifestyle. You know, I went into Walmart the other day, and I didn't hardly get to the greeter. There's like 10 people that need prayer. It's just, they're everywhere, you know. Go to a restaurant, and, you know, it's everywhere. But God wants us to step out and to just be his sons and daughters and just to love. That is the key, is love. Love. Just pray for more love and just the transformation takes place and your heart begins to be transformed and changed. And you know, that's what we're about. That's what we're about. It's a beautiful thing. So I just want to encourage you and bless you. You've been a blessing to me, all of you. And, you know, I do have sort of a lot of hats on, but I have found where I used to be so serious about everything and so regimented that I'm just having a blast. I'm doing it with joy. It's just joy in all of it, and it's wonderful. And I just appreciate each one of you and just honored to be able to serve as administrator and do whatever I can. So thank you for the time.
I'm 14, as well as Miranda is. Our youth group leaders very much encouraged us to do the school. And as soon as I found out that it was open for me to do, I begged my mom to let me go. And I'm telling you now, this was the best move I made all summer. This was the best move for my life. Because 7 to 8 years ago, I lost the person that I relied on the most to get me through things, to encourage me, and I thought all was lost. And God had been directing me in places in my life and helping me get through it, and I know if it wasn't for God, I honestly wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be able to stand up here before you and just have a heart that is so thankful. And I thank you so much for opening this for us. My perspective on everything has changed since I've started this school. There's been times where things have come at me where I feel like there's, like before, I felt like there was no way I could get through it. And now I'm realizing, because I have God and everything, and he's with me all the time, I'm able to do everything through him. And there's been situations, things said, and I'm learning to live a life unoffendable. Living a life out of love, getting rid of the selfishness, living selfless, and living for those around me. And I want you to know that I love you all. I may not know you personally, but I do love you all because you mean so much to God. And I'm learning to see people for the value that God has on their lives. And it's just so amazing. And I thank you all for being such an encouragement to my life.
I just want to say something real quick. I came here and I knew the information wouldn't be new. Mostly it wasn't. Some of it really was, Pastor Don, which was cool. But I came here to be baked. Yeah, you know, like come here, like I got all the ingredients and I just want to be baked. And I've been getting baked. And it's good. It's good. You know, so I'm loving it. But, yeah, I've been baked. I'm being baked here. Thank you, Lord, for it. You know, what's so cool is we come here, and I've said I've been in other situations where I wouldn't ask people for a Kleenex, let alone advice. And my first day at school, I saw Pastor Don, who I had only ever seen once before. And he comes over, and he sits right here on these steps. He says, come here, girl. He's not talking to me. He's talking to someone in his congregation. He said, come here, girl. I think I need a hug or whatever he said. And I saw that, and I just saw the beauty in that and the love in that. And so I felt so safe here and so able to be baked, you know. And so where I want to give this away, sometimes, you know, I've told you, Pastor Don, I want to sometimes hit people, you know. So it's a little bit less. It's a lot less because I'm coming at it with more love. Thank you very much, Lord. Thank you. Yeah, but what an example to be here and just to be baked. I'm just enjoying it.
Good word. And it's
I graduated in 2010. And I went out to college for one semester, and I felt like it was what God was leading me to. And that whole year, it was just the hardest it's ever been in my life. Just like an inward struggle, and I feel like I have so much passion inside of me. I've always had it. But last year, this fear just came over me because I thought that I was doing what God wanted for me. I have felt always that I have like a really high calling, and I just don't know what to do with it. And when I heard about this school, I was home for a couple months. I'd just been working, and the first thing I thought is, I'm not doing that because I was scared to do anything. I didn't want it to go wrong again, because it went really wrong when I went to college. And the first week I was here, I knew that it was good, you know. It was great. It was blowing my mind away. But just like a week ago, I've been waiting patiently for God to just tell me what my next step is or whatever. And I really feel like He's pressing it really hard in my heart right now. And I'm not living in any fear anymore. Like, I know where I'm going, and, you know, even if I don't at times, like, I just know that I'm not scared anymore, and it's so weird because I have been so scared this whole last year, and I know that God's going to place me where He wants me to, and I'm just so trying to hear His voice more, and, you know, He's speaking to me, and so I just want to say thank you for having this school. And I'm normally really independent, but every night before this school started, I'd go to bed the week before, and it'd just be like, school, kingdom living. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I need to work. I need to pay off my loans, da 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 da. I was like, okay, God, fine. So I came, and now I'm like, I just feel like I'm set free because I have no more fear about my future, and
Actually, this is my second time through. so I'm really getting baked. Yay. Before I even heard about Power and Love and the school, I was in a prophetic round table. I was asked to be the mic runner. And I was sitting in, and we had a worship time before we even started, and the Lord came to me, and I had a vision of me sitting in front of a shredder. And God was on the other side of the shredder, and he was just smiling. And I was sitting there shredding my Social Security card, my driver's license, my birth certificate, all my certifications, my high school, my college diploma, everything. And I got finished. I looked up at him like, okay, now what? And he said, now you're going to take on my identity. And to watch God move me into a place of where I was really broken. Sorry. Went through hell like I never thought I would go through. And, okay, give me one of these. But I saw him walk me through it. I saw I watched him, even though it was like darkness all around, I knew to plug into him and say, this is one thing I know, is that about your character, is that you love me and your love is never ending, and that you will take me through. And one day I was sitting there, I said, man, I feel like I'm in the middle of the forest and I can't see the other side. And he said, well, geez, just look around. It's beautiful. And I looked around, and the one thing that he's showing me is the perspective of which we're looking at things, you know, how we're looking at things. And I stopped, and it was like all of a sudden I saw this forest, you know, the forest. And I went, wow, it really is beautiful in here, you know. And he started showing me, giving me different perspectives, how to handle what I was going through, and going through it with love. And then I came here, and I'm going, oh my gosh, you know, he's just deepening that love aspect, that he is love. I saw his love just flowing through the situation, through me into that situation that I was going through. And I said, man, in here I'm just learning more about my identity. I thought I really lost who I was in the midst of all of life, and just learning that, man, the kingdom of heaven is right here inside of me. And watching that, I think it's just amazing when you're out and you get to pray for people, watching his love just flow out. And I walk away more wrecked than I think they do sometimes because of the love. And he's teaching us just through reaching out his love, the love that he has for everyone. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter who they are, what. I mean, even just going to feed the homeless and those who don't have food. I mean, every time I go, it's like he shows me. He said, man, they're your brother. Man, they're your sister. You know, I'm just going, you know. And it's like, wrap my arms around him, you know, and say, man, you're my brother. I love you. And, you know, it's just amazing to walk in love. And identity into the kingdom, allowing that kingdom. Behold, I think it's amazing. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's such an amazing, radical, whew, you could just feel it when you just proclaim it. Amen. Amen.
One more. Yeah, I came here mainly to
not do anything while I was here except learn about identity and just bask in whatever God had and just take it in. I didn't want to work. I didn't want to strive to do things. And I just really, God has been showing me His love and His joy in a way I haven't seen before, that it's for me, and that He is consistent. He doesn't change. And that His love is just constant. And I've never seen so strongly the power of God move through the speakers up here and how they're so on target with so many things. And that song that just came to me was just, where you go, I go. Where you stay, I'll stay. What you pray, I pray. And I feel like God's, he's faithful, and He's with us, and He will never leave. And His presence is all around us. And just to know that more, we can walk wherever we can, wherever we go, He goes with us, and we have authority, and we have power. And just to rest in that, that's what I've really come to. God just keeps teaching me, just rest in my glory, just rest in my presence, just rest in my truth and in my love. And I've just been really, really blessed, more than I could have expected coming here. The first few weeks especially, I just felt like I wasn't asking for it, but it was like God was like pulling things off. I was like, I didn't realize that I could change that quick, like inside. Like I didn't realize that He would give me so much of Himself so quickly. So I've been really blessed by this class and by God.
This school has changed me so much over the last couple weeks. A week or two ago, Pastor Don pulled me out, wanted to talk to me about how things were going. I hit a point where I wasn't sure whether I believed in this stuff or not. I've had a big up and down struggle with my belief system, not making it a system, you know, kind of like what Shane said. It's not about doing things a certain way. It's just about giving yourself, which I've had a real problem because I've said I've given myself and I'll appear to give myself, but it's really like a covering. It's a mask. And even last night, I was outside doing my thing. I was singing, listening to music, and overwhelming sense of peace came over me, which doesn't happen to me often because I have a lot of issues. I have sleeping problems, waking up in the middle of the night, and hot, cold sweats, nightmares, flashbacks, things like that. I didn't really let go of my past, although I've proclaimed that I've let go of my past, but it's still one of those things that have kind of held me back for years, and it's actually strained my relationship with my adoptive parents. I was adopted when I was 9. It's put a struggle on not only my relationship at home, but my relationships everywhere else. Before this school, I didn't have a whole lot of friends. I kind of stayed to myself, kind of quiet and shy. And during the school, I actually made a whole bunch of different friends here. People that I can go to and share things, and I don't have to be afraid of what they'll think of me. You know, they'll just share their heart with me, give me their advice on particular things. It's just been a blessing, and I want to thank Pastor Don again. I know a lot of us youth have already come to you and said thank you, but thank you for giving us this opportunity to come and learn and be a part of this school, because I think without this school, I probably would have reverted back to some of my old lifestyle, which was a lot of bad things. I used to cut and do things such destructive behavior. It's not funny. And the school has kind of brought out even more my servant's heart. I'm a big... I love helping out around the church. I love serving people. It's just something that I love doing. And this whole school experience has kind of brought that out of me, whether it be helping somebody with advice, helping set down and tear up the tables every week. Just little things like that has been amazing for me to be able to sow seed in other people's lives, especially my friends, because most of my friends are actually, I guess you could call them the outcasts of society. Where I was a lonely little kid that used to cut himself, and now I'm reaching out to people that have those same problems, reaching out to people who don't think they have a way out, basically, which is how I felt for years, even after I gave my life to the Lord, because I was on a roller coaster, which isn't how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a straight track, you know. It's not a roller coaster Christianity. It's not. It's just a straight, just putting your trust in Him, which is amazing. And I'm finally learning how to do that, putting my trust in someone else instead of putting it all on me, because I've had a real big problem with trust, not trusting other people with things, trying to put everything all on me, doing it all on my own. And it hasn't worked out, especially at home. So I just want to thank you again for letting me be a part of this amazing experience.
I'm going to do Rachel, and then we'll get rolling back into some things.
Okay, I just first and foremost need to say thank you to Pastor Don and our church leadership. I look at Pastor Don as a dad. Yeah, I don't even want to get on that because that'll make me bawl. But so I love you very much. But with that being said, this class has done so much for me because I've always had a servant's heart. I could go out and help anyone out there. But I needed to do work on me. And that's what this class really has done for me, because over the past year, in January, I was going through a really tough separation. And prior to that, actually, let me backtrack. I was an alcoholic up until June of last year. Finally, June of last year, I gave it to the Lord. I said, you got to do something with this, because I was a functional alcoholic. Nobody would know. And so I finally said, you know what? You got to take this away from me. Thank God he did. But with that being said, January of 2011, I was going through a really tough separation. In the midst of that, April 1st, he committed suicide. Leaving me with a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, well, he's not even 4, he's 3, and a 2-year-old boy. So with just the pressures of life in general and just my whole life being completely turned upside down, I was meeting with Pastor Lori. She was my mentor. And we were talking, and she's telling me about the school, and I'm like, I can't do that. I've got so much going on, there's no way. And I kept saying, no, no, no. I had my, you know, public education that I'm in, and I'm like, I can't do it. And one night, I'm sitting out front. My kids are out front playing in, like, the parking lot. And I'm sitting there just thinking, all I could think of was drinking. I'm like, I got to go get a bottle of wine. My day wasn't bad or anything. It was great, you know. And all I kept thinking was, I got to drink. I got to drink. Like, for some reason, I was consumed with these thoughts. So I go to bed angry. Hadn't drank. I didn't drink, thank God. But I'm like, why is this happening to me? Like, you know, I made it through the suicide. I made it through the past couple of months. All of a sudden, now it's hitting me? Like, really? And so I go to bed just crying, completely feeling lost. The next morning, I wake up, and my sister, Bobby, was in this class. And I called her bawling, and I'm like, I've lost me. I don't know who I am anymore. My kids, I couldn't parent anymore. All I was doing was screaming at them, you know, threatening to beat them every time they turned around. And I'm like, what do I do? And all I could hear was Kingdom Living, Kingdom Living. So I called her, and I was like, Bobby, I've got to get to class. I was like, you know, I wonder if they'll let me in. You know, I didn't even register, blah, blah. So long story short, here I am today. And I thank God for it, because it has done so much in me and helped me be a better mom. Like, I still struggle in a lot of areas in parenting, but receiving the love that God has for me and knowing that no matter how much I screw up, He still loves me, and that's unconditional, is allowing me to put that in with my children. And when they spill their milk or they throw their food at the dinner table, I don't have to freak out. I can understand it's a growing process and love them through it. So the school is phenomenal, And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be in it.
Okay. We're going to just let it right there. Wow. Thanks, guys, for just sharing your hearts. Like, I think 17 times I wanted to jump up and hug somebody. Did y'all feel that? You know, it's like, oh, come here. Okay. But it is pretty amazing. There's a whole lot of truth that's coming forth. And to me, that's like a really, really neat thing. You know, one of the things, and I'll tell you something, we've quoted a scripture, the truth will set you free. The fact of the matter is, the truth won't set you free. And that may stagger you, but you need to understand something. You're a drug addict. Truth was still there. Truth didn't set you free. It's the truth you know that'll set you free. Do you understand what I just said? And the word there, when Jesus says, and you'll know the truth, the word know there, there's two different Greek words that we translate know. That one means experientially. So it's actually the truth you experience. The truth you put on sets you free. Truth was there all along. You were a drug addict for 17 years. You know what? For 17 years, truth was available, right? Truth didn't set you free. You were still a drug addict. It's not until you came to know the truth. That's why Jesus said, you'll know the truth experientially, and then that truth can set you free. Do you understand that? So that's pretty huge, because the fact of the matter is, what I kept hearing over and over is people being set free. To me, that's an awesome thing, because we're gaining truth. We're getting that. And then what I love about it is the truth. It's just like Deb was sharing about her mom speaking with them. Is everything, you can't pour out what you don't have. You know, I'd love to give you all $1 million, but I can't. I don't have it to give. You'd love to get it. but the truth is, if we don't have it, we can't give it. Everybody understand what I just said? Can't give what you ain't got, right? But if you have it, now you have a place to pour it out, and it begins to come out of us. And that's what we want. What my greatest desire for every one of you that have come through this and are experiencing transformation in your life is that 6 months from now, that's just the natural pouring out. You know what's cool? And it's just like Bobby Joe was sharing a little while ago, and she's talking about four of us at a swimming pool. I think it was at a swimming pool, right? At a swimming pool. And here comes a little boy, would you pray? And it's not, well, geez, what do we do? How do we think? It's just the natural response. Let's pray. Come on, it's God. God can take care of this. It's natural to think that way. I want you to walk naturally supernatural. I hope that makes sense. We walk naturally supernatural because it's what's in us. Some things you just don't even have to think about, right? Some things just ought to just come natural. For years, I was a drywall contractor, right? So I don't have to think about doing drywall. It just comes natural. As a matter of fact, some of the greatest revelations that I've ever had in my life, and some of the best messages that I ever felt were developed in my heart came while I was finishing drywall. You know why? Because it was natural for me. I didn't even have to think about finishing drywall. It just comes natural. So you're slapping mud on the wall, and you're doing what you do, and you don't even think about it because it's just natural. That's the way our walk with God ought to be. It just ought to be the outflow. Somebody comes to you with, and they're sharing about where their life's at, and all of a sudden what we used to do was hug them and sympathize with them and feel bad for them, right? And love on them and feel like we're stroking them a little bit and tell them it's going to be okay. But now we won't respond that way anymore, because now we're so full of truth we can just pour truth into them. And now, I may feel bad for you, but I'm going to love you enough to speak truth to you, because your situation can change. Do you understand that you are in the process of becoming the answer to someone else's prayer? Isn't that a great thought?
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. God sent somebody, and here you are. Come on. And that's a great day. Can I talk to you real plain? Because I know this works this way in the body of Christ. We'll be with somebody, and they're in crisis. Our immediate thought, our first thought, I wish the pastor was here. He'd know what to say. I wish Dan was here. He'd know what to say. Oh, if only Todd was here, we could take care of this.
Yeah.
And now, watch this. Because of what's happening in your life and the transformation, now there's a crisis, and you go, ta-da, I'm here. The kingdom of God has come. Because it's in you. Are you getting that?
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. You'll find. And here's what's really, really cool. Is once you start pouring out into other people's life, it becomes... Can I say this? It's a thrill.
Yeah.
Is it okay to say that? It's a thrill. It's like, come on, you had to have an... You pray for this little boy and his leg straightens out and grows out and everything. It's like, and then he grew up too far and you had to pray God to move it back. I love that stuff, right? Okay. But watch this. When you see that, when you experience it, and it's not like I watched somebody else do it. I was a part of that. Does that make sense?
Amen.
There's an adrenaline rush to that. I don't care who you are. And I don't care how many times you do it, it never leaves. It's like the greatest thrill in the world. And when that happens, you know what it does? It fuels something inside of you. Come on, you prayed for a short leg and it grew out. Guess what you're doing? Looking for a limp. You're like a bulldog. Come on. Okay, you know what I mean? Come on, I dare you, limp. Come on. You know, it's like you're looking for that. That's like fun. Rand, did you remember when we did the Activate Your Faith conference? Because we went to Walmart. There was me and you and a whole bunch. I can't remember. But these girls, man. I mean, we were in a... It was before Power and Love was the big thing. We did an Activate Your Faith conference here at the church. And it was Pastor Dan and Todd and Jared Rodney, I believe. Jared was a part of that. And we just had an amazing time with that. But we took out groups in different places. We went to South Hanover Walmart. I had her. And I can't remember who else was with us. It was about three or four of you girls. And I'm telling you, I stood back and laughed because I didn't pray for anybody. They're like this. They're on a mission. Cain. And they're ready because there's an excitement with that. We're going to go get them. You know what I mean? Why? Because we were seeing God do stuff. And once you see God do stuff, it accelerates everything inside of you. You're anxious for the next thing. To me, that's an amazing day. So we watch those kind of things happen. And it is so fun. We're in pursuit to see God do more. I believe with everything in my heart, that's where we need to live and walk. I want to be an outflow of the kingdom of God. A conduit. An open gate. Heaven flows through me. You know what? I say this a lot. I speak to the local church about it. And I'll talk to you about this real clear. You've got to speak to yourself that way. There's nothing wrong with you getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror and going, "You're an open gate, man. Heaven's going to flow through you today. People will be blessed today because you walked into their life."
Amen.
You need to believe that about yourself. There's a place where you need to believe that about yourself. Oh, you're going to be a blessing today, man. Come on. Do you understand? Come on, watch this. Hear this the right way. You're going out there and you're going to love the hell out of people.
Yeah.
You hear that the right way, right? Okay. Oh, you've got to believe that about who you are and what God's doing in you. David did that. David spoke to him. You know, David talked to himself all the time. You know that, right? Watch this. Psalm 103. What's it say? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Who's he talking to? Come on, my mind, my will, and my emotions. Bless the Lord. He's speaking to himself. Over and over you'll find David speaks to himself. Why? Because I believe, watch this, if death and life are in the power of your tongue, you ought to be speaking life over yourself.
Amen.
You can prophesy over your own life. You don't have to look for somebody to prophesy over. Prophesy over you. It's a good day. And you start speaking into yourself. You know what I mean? Come on. And that's a huge day. Okay? Listen, I'm going to cover a couple of questions that have come in from the internet. And then we're going to talk about some things. I actually want to walk us through some things. There's a whole bunch of things in my heart today. It's probably my last day with you. But I think we're going to go to 2 Chronicles 20. I'm not sure. But I think that's where we're going to go. Okay? But let me cover just a couple quick questions. This question came in from the internet. It's I don't want to read the whole thing. There's a lot of it. Let me come down to this part. I love God and His Word, but even so, there are some things that don't seem to jive with everything that's being said. I'm struggling patiently pursuing truth. And the thing is, I see a lot of commentary from God and the apostles in the New Testament about words. And he quotes a verse from Revelations chapter 2, verse 23. Everybody okay with that? So turn to Revelations 2, because you can't read verse 23 alone. You've got to understand the context that it's written in. How many know, anytime you read a verse and you're trying to study a verse, you've got to go a couple verses above and a couple verses below to understand.
Yep.
If you take a text, you've got to read it in the context of that text. Anytime we just pull a single verse out, we can get twisted with what he's saying. So I want you to go to Revelations 2. He quotes from verse 23, "I will kill her. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I'll give unto every one of you according to your works. On this verse above, it's the words of Christ in red from heaven talking to the church, the called out ones, the redeemed ones, threatening kill them. What's up with that? He's not talking to the church there. Okay, watch this. I'm going to take you back and watch what he's saying. If you go to Revelation chapter 2, all right, well, let's start at verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Okay, he's talking to the angel of the church of Thyatira. Everybody knows the angel there means messenger. Everybody okay with that? It's the messenger of the church of Thyatira. Okay, all right. Now, what he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because you suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. How many know what he's talking about now? He's talking about unrepentant teachers. Jezebel was a teacher. I won't even get into all that. There's a spirit behind all that. We're not going to go into that, because what I find. Can I talk to you about something I think is real important? I've watched a lot of people in the body of Christ, and I struggle with this idea. I know it's a prevalent idea in the church. I don't like it. I'm just going to be real honest with you. But we're going around trying to name all kind of spirits. You know what I mean? That's the spirit of Apollyon. That's the spirit of Jezebel. That's the spirit of whatever. And sometimes I get a little frustrated with that, because you know what? I don't think we need to go out and label everything. Frankly, he gave you power over spirits. Amen. Does it say that? Right? So, you know what? Here's what I believe. I believe when Jesus was casting out devils, he didn't have to find out who they were and what their names were. I know that at one point we have legion, right? Everybody. So that's kind of become a hobby horse. But I can tell you something. I find that Jesus cast out a whole lot of devils. And when you have power over, come on, somebody was quoting Luke 10:19. I can't even remember who it was. It was Deb, wasn't it? Yeah. Luke 10:19 was a text scripture. What's it say? Behold, I give you power. That first word's exousia. It means authority. Behold, I give you authority over all the power that's dunamis of the devil. Right? So what he's saying is, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you have authority over demons?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Or is it just them? It is you. Because the kingdom's in you. So he gives you authority over that. That was the place where we walk in that authority. Okay, so I won't even get into all the naming things and all that, because I don't think that's absolutely necessary. But what he's saying is, he gave her a space to repent, and she repented not. Behold, I'll cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. What's he saying? If they repent, there's no punishment. But if they don't repent, what's he saying? There's a judgment. What's the judgment? I'll kill her. That's what it says. Watch this. And I will kill her children with death. What's he talking about? It's a second death. He's talking about the second death. What's that? There's a natural death, and then there's a spiritual death. He's talking about the second death. Death and hell were cast what? Into the lake of fire. That's the second death. Everybody okay with what I'm saying? And that's what he's speaking about there. He's simply saying that it's in a place where people refuse to repent, there's a second death. Right? Everybody okay with what I just said? We need to understand that. Watch this. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Anybody understand what I just said? Because it's kind of a neat parallel there. If you're born once, that's in the physical. What? Except a man be what? Born again, twice, right? Born once, die twice. Natural death and then an eternal death. Born twice, what? Born in the of water and the Spirit. Everybody follow what I just said? Born twice, die once. You'll die a natural death, but you'll live forever. Does anybody understand that? Because that's huge, right? And that's really what he's speaking about right there. Now, when the question came about the works, so let me cover that. He says, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. So there's a question then about the works, and that's what he raised, okay? What's the thing about works? Because we talk, it's all about faith. What about works? How many know James says, come on, faith without works is dead, being alone. Now watch this. I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by faith, but if I have faith, won't works naturally follow? Yeah. Right? I'm going to live this thing. I'm going to flow. Watch what I was saying earlier. I'm going to be a gate of heaven. Yeah. Works going to come from that. Why? Because faith is being activated in my life. I mean, the greater amount of faith, works are going to follow. It's just going to naturally happen. I'm not saved by my works, but I will be rewarded by my works. How many understand? Behold, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Is there going to be different rewards in heaven? What's that look like? Is there going to be different rewards in heaven? Absolutely. He said, I'm going to give every man according as his work shall be. Okay? So watch this. The guy on his deathbed gives his heart to Jesus and 24 hours later dies. Is he going to heaven? Why? He lived that whole life like that. Nope. He gave his life to Christ. That's what matters. Y'all follow what I just said? He's going to heaven. But here's a guy who got saved when he was 8 years old, gave his life to the mission field, went out and did great exploits for the Lord, you know, and just submitted and surrendered his whole life. Different works, right? Different reward. I'm not sure what all that's going to look like. Are they both going to be in the same heaven? Absolutely. How many have heard of the seven heavens? You know what I mean? There's no seven heavens. That's a TV show. Okay? Okay? But who's ever heard Paul said, I got caught up into what? The third heaven? Has that ever confused anybody? Let me help you with that. It's real simple. When he talks about being caught up into the third heaven, if you look up into the sky, right? There's the atmospheric heaven. Okay? Then you look up into the sun where the stars are in the middle of the night, right? That's where the Milky Way, you can look through a telescope, right? You can see all the different planets and all those kind of things. That's called the stellar heaven. That's the second heaven. Then the third heaven, when Paul says, I got caught up into the third heaven, that's the home where God abides. That's what he says when I got caught up into the third heaven. That's the reference that he's making there. Everybody clear with that? So you got the atmospheric heaven, the stellar heaven, and then heaven, the abode of God. Pretty cool, huh? You all right with that? Just if that clears anything up, that's a good day then. Okay? So the question, and it was a question for Pastor Dan. I'm just saving him time and I answered it for him. Okay? Yeah. Here's another question that comes in from a guy named Mike Kraft. And Michael, I believe Michael's a pastor, if I remember right. I've read some stuff from him. He says, I'm running a bit behind on the classes. If it doesn't fit into what you're teaching, I totally understand. I would love to hear you teach some on joy. In the church, we have a lot of knowledge. And in class, we're gaining a great revelation of love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, right? Everybody okay with that? The joy of the Lord is our strength, and His presence is fullness of joy. Everybody okay with that? Right? I know a lot of Christians who love the Lord, but I know very few who experience joy. In part, we confuse happiness, which comes from outward happenings, with joy, which flows from the inside out. We try to walk by faith, working through love, but the expression on our faces almost always lacks a joy in the faith we profess. Why is this? You seem to have found a way to live in love and joy. A lot of us are looking for that in our relationship with God. I think a lack of joy in our relationship has led to legalism and religion and is a major reason why our love grows cold over time. We receive the word with joy. When trials and tribulations come, we seem to lose it. How do we get back and maintain the joy that sustains our faith? Isn't that a great question? Come on, because we ought to walk in joy, right? Come on, man. I'm like happy and it's not my fault. Okay? You know what I mean? There's a place where we walk in that, and that joy is the outward expression of our relationship with God. I think one of the things that we need to understand, and this is a huge place, and I love the question, because he quotes several of the scriptures that if he hadn't quoted them would have been my response. In his presence is fullness of joy. When am I not in his presence? I think I got a promise that he's with me always. You know what I mean? So there's a place where I walk in that. And there's a place where watch this, I understand it. Because he says, in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isn't that cool? So here's the deal. The idea of walking in joy comes from this. I live with this phrase. God has a great way of working things out. You can walk in joy when you're a dead man. Why? Because a dead man got no problems. Do you understand what I just said? Yes. Come on. Here's the deal. One of the things that I've found, and I believe this, and you got to understand something, because we can all relate to stress and all these other kind of things. You know, we talk about the stress of life and all those kind of things. And you can imagine, and I'll talk to you from a pastor's heart, imagine all the different responsibilities that come with this house. You know what I mean? And you've got payrolls and you've got all kind of things and budgets. And I won't get into all that kind of stuff, but there's those kind of pressures. And there's the pressures of all trying to meet needs with people and trying to touch people's lives. And it seems like the phone's always ringing. And at the end of class, I'll have 7 voicemails and 5 text messages. And there's all the kind of stuff that could pull on you if you allow it. Here's the deal. One of the things is you have to purpose in your own heart. Here's the thing, and I love this. This is probably one of the greatest freeing things for me is I learned the idea of it's not my life to live. Yeah. When you understand that it's not your life to live, there's a place where you're just walking out truth and you're saying, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm just going to continue to let God flow through my life. And even when there's things that I don't understand, I don't know how many times I've come to the Lord and said, wow, God, you better do something about this. And I just stepped back because I know it's out of my control. Probably one of the things that we've fretted more about than anything were things that were beyond our control anyway.
Yeah, right.
If it's outside of your control, step back. God, this is yours. I can't deal with this. You've got to deal with this. And there's a place where we learn that. There's a place where you can get free from... Here's a really, really neat phrase that God dropped in my heart years ago. And I love this. You set me free from Egypt. Now set me free from me.
Yeah.
I just think that's a huge word. You set me... Because Egypt was a type of sin. And I don't know if y'all understand the whole analogy of Moses and the children of Israel. But you set me free from Egypt. So now, set me free from me. I think that's a huge phrase. Okay? Once you're free from you, joy is just going to happen. But probably part of the greatest problem is that we haven't gotten free from ourselves yet. I really believe that the byproduct of our joy is being walking in a freedom and a liberty that we haven't understood because we're not free from ourselves yet. We've allowed a lot of stuff to cause us stress. We've allowed a lot of stuff to cause us anxiety that wasn't ours to deal with. I'm going to teach you on that in the next part of the class. Actually, I'm going to go there. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I won't do it now. We'll do it after the break. And hopefully it'll talk to some and express to Michael some about the joy. But who knows? There's a place where you can walk in joy no matter what's going on around you. We're going to talk about that when we come back, okay? All right, take a break because Sue's standing back there and kind of flagging me. So take a break. We'll come back when all the music does whatever it does and we'll do what we're supposed to do when the bell rings. And we're going to have a great time. He says, eat the fat, drink the sweet.